Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get that pen. And maybe we could keep in touch.
Maybe.
I bet we will.
Did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago.
What are we talking, the 80s, 90s?
And I wish you well.
When did email really kick in? The bigger question.
Sign your pen, pal.
You're listening to The Bigger Questions with Daniel and Rory.
You know what? I was about to say something, and then you know how you say something and you go, no pun intended, but I feel like if you realize it before you say it, you did intend it. Pen Pals, theme song, so many great notes.
It works on so many different levels.
Right?
It does.
So many great notes.
Daniel, tell our listeners where you're broadcasting from this beautiful morning.
I'm in Rochelle, Illinois, doing a podcast. This is the first from Aunt Connie and Uncle Ken's house in the sewing room.
That's right.
Yeah. I bought you a gift. A Rochelle gift. You want to see it?
You want to know what is so cliche about this sewing room from what I can see?
All the wood?
Try to guess.
The wood paneling?
Try to guess what you think it is.
The fact that there's a
printer in the weirdest location.
Right. Oh, I also thought you were going to say the quilting square that's just on the wall.
I can sort of see it, so I couldn't fully... Uh-huh. I thought that's what it was. But... And also hanging...
You want to know what it says on it?
Moo hanging on the door.
That's a dress in the process of being sewn. Do you want to... Okay. Do you want to... There's a sign.
Since it is the sewing room.
There's a sign on the quilting square. Do you want to know what it says?
Of course.
Hunting, fishing, loving every day. Congratulations, Ken Doherty, on your retirement. And that's a country song for those of you in the know that goes hunting, fishing, loving every day. All right, I have a gift for you before we...
What is Ken's age?
60.
Oh, he's right in the thick of it. When did he retire?
One.
Oh, he probably just recently.
Yeah, he retired a couple months ago.
Oh, my God. That's a new addition to the sewing room?
Yes.
That's a big piece, too, I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you slide me over? Let me take a gander at that?
Yeah, but I'm not letting other people see.
Oof. God, I like that a lot.
See, it's a sign on top of a quilting square.
That's where you want that.
And you see some grandkids in matching polos.
Oh, I see them. Did your family ever do the let's put on the white button downs?
Never white.
Take the beach. We never did. Family photo?
No, never white. Me and Matt and Vance had matching sweaters. And I think the Dohertys did. Everybody
turtlenecks.
No, sweater vest. Sweater vest. White turtleneck. And then,
you know, had I had a sweater vest on,
mm-hmm.
with my turtleneck, I would have looked like I was competing for like maybe the Masters in the early 70s.
I think the Dohertys did a
for
full
some
denim.
Reason with like 80s style hair that was very hairsprayed.
Are you ready for what I got you?
I'm so excited.
I want to show it to you, and then I still get to give it to you, so I'm going to double tap on this gift giving.
Double tap.
RTHS.
New underwear.
You're close. RTHS. Socks. Look at
well, I like that.
It says RTHS. Got the Hub logo. And then this other side says Hubs on it.
Your school sells socks?
Everything.
That's amazing.
Dude, I got you these.
I
got
to see if my first off, thank you.
You're welcome.
I like that color. I like everything going on in those.
Purple and white, baby.
Now it makes me wonder, does my school have that?
You gonna rep?
Red, white, black. Red, white, and black.
You should.
Greenville High School Red Raiders.
Rep.
Let's see.
Next time I'm in Greenville, I'm going to try and find like the school spirit shop, and I'm going to go buy something.
Folks, it's speaking of Greenville, speaking of Daniel being in his hometown, I'm going to be heading back to my hometown in early June.
Yeah.
As I will be playing in a televised golf tournament, the BMW Charity Pro-Am, that is going to be on the Golf Channel. Two rounds of it will be, if you get two rounds, and if you advance, you go to the third and
how
final
excited
round.
Are you?
I'm so excited.
You don't know who you're going to be playing with?
I don't know which pro. You're paired up with a pro, and I'm pretty sure it's best ball.
Do you get a caddy, or do you have to caddy yourself?
I get a caddy. I think my uncle Lenny is going to do it.
Yes.
That's the plan right now. I just got to check with him and make sure that's what's happening. But I fully intend to treat it in a very delusional way. That I am a professional golfer
for your damn
playing
straight.
On television, and I will be treating it as such. Mm-hmm. I am not there to clown around. Mm-mm. I am there to fully talk about yardages,
mm-hmm.
read putts.
Mm-hmm.
Could not be more excited.
Oh my God, I love it. I want to watch you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. What are you drinking?
Giordo made me a little...
That's great.
Smoothie.
That looks wonderful.
A little health in my life.
I don't think we have too much other business to cover. If you've never listened to the show before, it's letters.
Let's
we get them. We talk about them.
Let's dip.
There's always new merch stuff that people should be checking out. And you can go to danielvankirk.com to the shop or to Rory Scovel's Linktree on Instagram. Click right there. You can get yourself a Pallarino shirt or declare to everybody that you'll go F2F for an RGT. Can't wait to see those shirts in the wild. Yep. Plus a great I wish you well crew neck. Okay, buddy.
You know what a great t-shirt idea would be?
So many notes. Beautiful notes.
I'm not being confrontational. I'm going F2F.
That is pretty good.
That I'm going F2F good. Because you're being confrontational.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, you want to go?
I'll wait.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
And let's go to the letters.
I'm always afraid you're going to come in late and you always come on perfect. Like, feels I feel like there's going to be a pause, but you stick
feels
the
like
landing.
A good rhythm.
Yes. Carry Strug it, dude. All right, ready? I'm going to go first.
I am ready to listen.
Oh, we would lose so many listeners if we went down that road of the voices. Because it's not
both
like
of us.
It's not like pencil buds. Which, by the way, I still don't know if we're supposed
we're
to read letters
some
like that.
Bud requests.
I know. I don't know if we're supposed to read the letter like that. We'll find out. Somebody let us know. Shanley? Hey, pencil buds.
Wait, there's elements we can decide. And I think pencil buds got to come in and out. They'll make appearances.
Mm-hmm. Maybe only live. Hey, pencil buds, laughed really hard at that. That's what they wrote, not me. Although, if you were there, I laughed as well. I've been meaning to write this letter for a while, but kept putting it off. A while back, you were wanting people to write in that knew people that had committed murder. That makes
sense. Just to be clear, we wanted...
I
think we were thinking serial killers because I think we thought outside of the two people who had told you that.
Yeah.
I don't think we thought that would be a massive amount of... people, just to be clear, Daniel and I are not aficionados.
No, we don't have an. I don't even know if I have a favorite murder.
yeah, we don't have a favorite murder. It terrifies us. We're not trying to say, hey, go dark and send us super sad shit. I think we just wanted those. And hey, if you got a story, send us what you got.
It's your podcast. We just talk about it.
But I think we thought those two people would maybe write us some sort of interesting.
Right, and they,
and they did. Some sort of interesting take on how they found out they knew a serial killer. But yeah, just to be clear, we're not obsessed with murder.
Right. A while back, you were wanting people to write in that knew people that had committed murder. Well, I don't know anyone that has committed murder. I do know, also, I should say, if you're listening to this and worried for any sort of, as Rory was just alluding to, this doesn't get dark. This is actually about relationships. So don't worry. We're not keeping you up scared at night. All right. Well, I don't know anyone who's committed murder. I do know someone that was murdered. In fact, it was my fiance's ex-husband. No, we had nothing to do with it. Of course. Okay. Winky. I'm assuming wink emoticon joke. Without going into many details, he was murdered by his friend. This event brought my fiance closer to her ex-in-laws. As time passed, she would often go out to dinner with them by herself. And despite being divorced from their son for a few years before he died. Oh, okay. So she was divorced for a few years before he died.
I want to know that too. I didn't know if it was labeled ex-husband.
Because they broke up. Yeah. It was because they broke up. So I'll reread that now that we know this. As time passed, she would often go out to dinner with them, her former in-laws, by herself. And despite being divorced from their husband for a few years before he died, she didn't want to tell them about me, which I had no issues with. More time passed. We lived in a small town in the Midwest, and they obviously knew that she was dating someone. They finally confronted her, /F2F, about it and wanted to meet me. This is where things get strange because they urged my fiance to invite me to a holiday dinner. I have
the thoughts are mounting.
I know. I already knew them because this family had close ties to a venue that I used to put on comedy shows. Yes, I'm a comedian. I mean, this is the longest somebody's gone before sliding that in on us, and I'm like, you fucker.
That's how you know he's a listener.
Yeah.
Because he's like, if I open with that,
you're going to roll right through. Which is not true.
But we do get weary of, hey, what should I do?
Right.
We don't hate those letters.
Right, but we want encourage
you get
people.
Get enough of them, you can't read them all.
Right. Go listen to those episodes. We did it. So kudos to you for really baking that deep into the pie.
Yeah, I actually really respect it.
I have close ties to the family through a venue that I used to put comedy shows on. So I wasn't a stranger. The thought of having dinner with my fiance's ex-in-laws after the death of their son and her ex-husband, man, I feel like we need a flowchart, was insane to me. But I knew that it took my fiance a lot to even ask if I would go. I want to come back to that sentence. I love my partner very much, so I agreed to go on it, and it was definitely awkward, especially when they talk about their son. But great, because they are very kind and loving people. We've had many dinners since. They basically accepted me into their family, which is cool, but also weird because sometimes I feel like I'm a stand-in. As a comedian, I find humor in everything, and this situation is no different because despite how awkward it is, sometimes to me, this is a hilarious situation to be in. I've been working on a bit about it. I've talked to my fiance about doing the bit, and she seems to have no problem, but did say that I should think about her in-laws, and yes, she has a great point. To me, this bit isn't about the family or the murder, but rather sentiment of my love for my fiance. So my question to you is this. As comedians, where do we draw the line with the material in regards to our family and friends? Thank you for everything you've done with your podcast. P.S. This is a podcast about writing letters. So what is your preferred pen of choice? Mine is the Zebra G301. P.S.S. I would be in favor of the Spotify app. I mean, you...
Who wouldn't?
I mean... We're waiting
America
for that.
Supports
if
that.
Anybody writes code or whatever it's called,
reach out.
Cell
to
phone
us.
Code.
Let's start. Let's
Spotify.
Let's do a
it. It doesn't have to be fancy. There doesn't need to be any social media component.
Don't, if you write code, don't steal the idea.
Don't
let's
do that either.
Chat.
All you have to do
let's
is
chat.
I imagine it would be is you would upload a photo to a server, and then everybody else has access to see the newest photo on that server in a like scrolling way. Very easy. But we cannot let it become some sort of 4chan thing where people start sharing their conspiracies and then take over our app.
I think it becomes it's an app that it's a community based app.
Yeah.
Where everybody who listens around, let's say just the country, I realize it expands, but let's say just the United States.
Okay.
And you just put updates on what pies are where, wherever you
That's
are.
That's good
it's
too.
It's just a community based, like, just letting you guys know that, you know, what out here, let's say Fred 62, just letting you guys know.
That's
Fred
good.
62's menu is this, and I got to tell you that coconut cream pie, it's not going to last forever, and it's great. And
so maybe it's twofold. Now. Like, if I'm having, like, grandma's birthday party and we have pie, which I would love, and I take a picture of the pie, I'm not going to give all that information. I'm just spotting a pie. Now, if I'm walking past, like, House of Pies in Houston, Texas, love them, I take a picture of those pies and go, guys, you got to get down there and get one of these slices of pumpkin. And then you can geotag it so that they can go to where that pie is and get some. Maybe that's what I think. Yeah.
That's what I think. Let people know. Here's the pie. Here's what it looks like. Here's where I got it. Here's what it looks like. Here's where I got it. Dude, and then people can, you know.
If we started this podcast to eventually become millionaires based off of our Spotify app, it's worth it.
It's worth it. Even if we don't, it's worth it.
It's true.
But it's less worth it unless we sell this app.
All right, Roar, where do you want to go? I don't have a favorite pen. I like the pens that don't leak too much but aren't ballpoint.
I do the Hedberg joke. I buy the nice pen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you commit to, like, writing. It makes you feel good. I think that's Hedberg. I know he has the thing about, like, if the pen is across the room, you tell yourself it's not a good idea. For some reason, I feel like having a good pen. It was something, he had something about that.
Well,
whoever's idea that was, they're right. If you do have a really nice pen and a new journal and you just feel, like, inspired, sure. Like, I know as a stand-up, I hate that at some point I switch to notes on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, voice memos, which are the easiest voice memos. I think I was a better, more, had a higher work ethic as a comedian when I had the notebook and a nice pen.
Really?
And I would just write the bit or write the punchline or write the thing I thought was funny and figure it out later.
Right.
I think when I wrote it down, it was a different.
But I love those things. Like, I love when I write a question that is the bit. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
I had one that was like, were people getting blowjobs in the 30s?
Yeah.
And then I know that's all I need. And I just write that down. I'm sure they were, but I guarantee you they weren't as much as now. But whatever, I'm not going down this road. That's not my point. But, like,
you do want to go down that road.
Of course, you do too. But
this,
like,
is about murder.
Right.
We're talking about murder.
Can I say one thing about pens, and then I want you to jump wherever you wanted to go because you said your thoughts were building? I don't usually break negative on stuff, but I will say I may not know the pen I love, but I know the fucking pens I hate. And you know what it is? I hate the pens where you twist it at the middle to make it come out. Because as I write, I'm slowly twisting it back up into the case, and it fucking drives me insane.
You know what I hate? Mechanical pencils.
You do? Like,
get the fuck out of here with your.
And then they'd break on the end.
Reload the lead.
Yeah.
And people that are good at those, I've never trusted.
The only pencils I like are golf pencils.
Are what?
Like a golf pencil or a carpenter's pencil. Those can be pretty cool too.
Yes. Yes.
But I like every other pencil. I'm like, get out of here. I'm going to break this tip.
Yeah.
Okay.
The rest of the letter sort of eased my tension, but I love this sentence. They finally confronted her about it and wanted to meet me. Like, does that, who knows? We just heard you were dating someone is probably how that went.
Right.
But that sentence makes it. Who's this new guy?
Yeah. You think I can, you think you can divorce our husband because the two of you deserve to be happier in other relationships and then he tragically died and now you're with someone else?
You're moving on even though you had already done that before the
right,
murder?
Right, right.
And
right.
All of this anger that I'm projecting onto you is more towards his friend?
Yeah.
/ bowling partner?
Mm-hmm.
This ex-husband bowled. I just feel it.
I feel it
in this letter.
Yeah.
That bowling is somewhere in there. Please write us back.
Why did I feel bowling too? Was it the word
Dan,
venue?
Please write us back and let us know.
Was it the word venue?
I have to know.
What made us feel bowling? Because I felt it too.
I think I just, because I there was a part of me that went location, but I don't think a location.
Because they just said Midwest. Out there. Just said small town Midwest is what the only location we got.
Maybe that's all I needed. But for some reason.
A venue. I think it was venue.
Maybe it's because of the intensity of this web of relationships that made me just think like, there's some bowling action going on. Someone in that family, I'm feeling it. Someone in that family.
Somebody's sharing a lane.
And I mean, maybe it was at a pretty high level.
Oh, you're thinking 240s, 250s?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in this letter.
Name is up at the alley.
Some person mentioned.
A lane, maybe a lane dedicated to the ex-husband.
Somebody mentioned or alluded to in this letter has bowled a 240. Somebody has. It could. I hope it's not the friend who committed murder, but it's somebody.
But that still means you're right.
Right.
And I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I want to throw out there. If, and you got to let us know, damn, if there is a lane at the bowling alley dedicated to the ex-husband, please don't lie for my feelings.
Mm-mm.
Please write back and just tell me if that's true. Because if that's true, why did I sense that?
I know.
That's so weirdly specific.
I think it's weird enough. We both sense bowling. And I bet there's pennies and pounders listening to this right now. They're like, I thought bowling too.
I thought bowling also. Like, that's where the murder happened.
What if I realize there's a sentence in the second paragraph that's like, so when we go bowling, and both of us forgot that we were.
And her ex-husband almost went pro. Regularly bowling 250.
So one night at the bowling alley, like we just forgot we read that.
Where I met her parents, and weekly we now bowl together.
Yeah. What do you think?
I gotta say, it's got to be small town. Otherwise, I can't imagine why they would be so wanting to meet this other guy. But, you know, here's what I bet. I'm going to throw all this out there, and these are all just wild assumptions.
Okay.
I bet the ex-husband had a little wild side, got into a little something with the friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet the wild side pushed the fiance away. That's why they divorced.
Okay, yeah.
And I bet the parents kind of maybe slightly sided with her. And even while he was alive, probably wanted to retain some kind of a late relationship.
Because yeah, the end of their marriage did not end their affection for her, is what you're saying. Even
right,
prior
it's only
to
it's
the
small town, yeah, we're going to see each other a lot. Why make it weird when we actually like you?
Yeah.
And I bet maybe she liked them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, I'd hate to look at it this way, but maybe there's some part of the parents that are like, we kind of like, meeting your fiance makes us feel like I know he says he feels like a stand-in, but, you know, emotionally for them, he could be a stand-in.
Yeah, or just
maybe not so much in that.
I mean, they also could have fully committed to the feeling of like she kind of became their daughter and they're happy for her happiness. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And in their own tragedy, anyone's happiness, they want to like partake in and be happy too.
Yeah.
You know,
I realize me making this conjecture that the husband had a little bit of a wild side. And now he's murdered. It isn't respectful to the person murdered, but I will not change that potential guess at how this relationship came to be. I could be wildly wrong.
Right.
Someone could say it's insulting and inappropriate. I agree with you. I cannot change my answer.
Which is why somebody should like you more, because you don't just waver on because you're like, maybe that wasn't the... But it's still what you thought. Either way, you were just creating some sort of storyline in which they would go, we're sorry our son's acting like this. We understand why you're getting a divorce.
It could also just be the fact that it's a small town, you know.
Right. And they were dumb and got married at 21. Could just be that.
We keep putting some kind of negativity on the murder. See, okay, you know, what we're doing right now should answer the question. Do Daniel and I feel a sense of ease in joking about something that is
tragic?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Right.
Does it first stem from the fact that we do not know any of these people personally?
Yes.
Yes. So would I get on stage and talk about this? Yes. Would I make conjectures and make jokes and stuff and feel next to nothing about it? Yes. Mm-hmm. Would that change if I were in your position? For me personally, more than likely. Do I think that should stop someone who doesn't feel the way I do? No. I am one of those people that does believe everything is on the table mm-hmm. to be joked about. Mm-hmm. If you want to go up and be wildly offensive, and you know, I don't like offensive comedy when it's just for the sake of being offensive,
agreed.
But I love a lot of offensive comics who I think did say something funny that mm-hmm. maybe I feel guilty laughing at, but I did find it funny.
Yeah.
But if it's me and I know the consequences or the feelings that are potentially on the table, it makes me second guess it. I have a lot of embarrassing jokes about myself and my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And because none of them are mean,
right?
And because some of them aren't even real.
Right.
I don't feel anything bad about, and I mean personal stuff that I've never ran by her before. And if she said, I actually don't like you telling that joke, I would stop instantly. But I think she also knows, like, it's exaggerated, or actually we don't do the thing he joked about, or we didn't have the fight he jokes about, but I see why it's in the joke because it helps the thing.
Right.
And there's some stuff that's just like, you know, I mean, do you think my wife loves that my special starts with asking if people did anal and then telling jokes about doing anal? No. But also people don't know if that's true or not, because what fun is that joke if I say, oh, by the way, I haven't either and neither did my wife, but here are jokes about it,
right,
if we did.
Right.
So right. To me, when people say comedy comes from truth and everything, yes, but sometimes you have to create that truth. I know I'm a little off topic here, but you have to create that truth in order to facilitate the joke. Nothing is funny in fucking third person, mm-mm. second person,
no.
usually.
No.
You have to have been the person who's there. So back to the original point, if I knew the family, I would maybe step back and go, am I willing to tell this joke in front of them, or does it hurt them too much? And I can't tell you that I wouldn't tell the joke. I don't know what the joke is and I don't know them, but I can see why you're my short answer to a long explanation that I probably didn't need to give is that if your fiance is saying, hey, maybe be careful about their feelings, maybe that's your red flag right there, that she's trying to say, I think this would maybe hurt their feelings if you saw them tell this joke. And then you just have to deal with the consequences like everyone who tells a joke has to.
Well, don't you feel a lot of times, I'll say this, if you're going to joke about anything, the first rule is it better work. It better work. If it doesn't work, I don't care how safe it is or how edgy it is.
You mean heavy and edgy.
It better work. It better work. Because the worst thing somebody says is like, oh, I didn't like your joke where you make fun of those parents who let their kids sleep with a pedophile. And if they said to me, oh, a cool bird just flew right up to this window. A robin. If I was like, oh, yeah,
Rochelle couldn't get any more Rochelle than what you just said.
I'm not lying.
And it started to ask you how your day was, and mm-hmm. there's also a pie cooling on the windowsill during this podcast.
And I start singing Just a Spoonful of Sugar. And then the birds land on my finger and like...
And for some reason, your local high school band is walking by practicing.
Yeah. Right.
You're just watching it.
That would be wonderful. And I'm imagining it.
How many classic car shows are there a year in Rochelle?
Two, I think.
Perfect. I was hoping for at least two.
But if somebody said to me, I didn't like that material, I was like, why? It's funny. Like, I have a right to talk about whatever I want on stage. And they go, yeah, it just doesn't really work. Now I'm like, fuck. So it has to work. It has to work. And then the other thing I'd say is, when you say, where do you draw the line? First of all, it wouldn't matter where I draw it, because that's not your line. And I would also tell you, it's not a line. And for some people, the line doesn't even exist. So it's like, you determine how curvy that line is, or you determine how fucking steadfast and hardcore that line is. Like, it isn't.
And where that line is.
Yes.
You determine it, but just, you always have to remember, your audience doesn't have the line in the same spot.
Well,
to me, that is what is so beautiful.
Right. Especially when you can get them over the line and they're like, why am I laughing at this? Like, I should not be laughing about those Mormon parents that gave their daughter to a pedophile, but it is true. We can blame them. Like, so,
right.
So for me, it's like, oh dude, there's a cardinal on the tree. right now.
All right, shut the fuck.
I swear to God.
No one believe this. No one.
I swear to God.
I can see through the reflection in his eyes. It's beautiful blue eyes. I can see there's no cardinal. I see no trace of red.
It just flew away.
Now, the blue jay, on a blooming tree. Given,
I have not seen a blue jay.
A lot of blue. You're going very monochromatic right now.
Yeah.
Blue t-shirt, blue jean jacket.
Blue eyes, put my blue eyes on. Okay.
Remember American Apparel? Is that still going?
Yes, I think.
I just remember all the like highly sexualized billboards.
Oh, I know. They were all over LA.
I guess it worked.
It worked until that guy got canceled. What I was going to say, though, is... Oh, you made me think of a good thing. Oh, is... For me, especially when you get into something a little bit touchy or edgy, the audience always wants to know, where is this going? And until, and now you might be a comic who enjoys them not knowing where it's going, which is fine. But until they know where it's going, it's harder for them to relax. So I'm not trying to like pitch you how to do this as a bit, but if it were me, I would make it about having a relationship more than you bargained for when you married a person, because it's not just their in-laws, it's their ex's in-laws. And then I would bring up the fact that he was tragically murdered, and I would keep telling the audience, but that's not what this is about, when obviously that is what they're going to be most interested in. And I would just keep going like, guys, we're not talking about how he was murdered. I'm talking about, and then you are recognizing this insane thing, but you are doing, in my opinion, what the bit would be about, which is about the relationships that you find yourself in by loving a person and how sometimes it's way more than you bargained for. They should be able to identify with that. They didn't expect to have a relationship with their ex-daughter-in-law's fiance, but you have to be able to answer for the audience, where are we going with this and what are we doing? And not to like bring it back to my own bit, but when I do the pedophile thing, I establish right away that we are going to joke about how sometimes you can definitely blame the parents. And then everybody knows what are we punching here? We're punching these idiots. We're not punching kids who got abused. We're not rationalizing pedophiles. We're going to joke about these dumb fucking parents. And so who, you know, there's plenty of tape on to see that there's no question how stupid they are. But so for me, it's that, like, if you bring that sort of bit up and anything that's touchy, the first thing the audience, in my opinion, for how I do comedy, is going to be like, where are you going with this? Because I don't know if it's going to bother me or not. So you have to answer that right away. And that's how I kind of treat anything that's edgy, is I want the audience to relax. We're not. But some people don't want the audience to relax. You know, one of our icons, Steve Martin, did not want the audience to ever relax. He didn't want them to know where anything was going. He wanted that.
I kind of like that too. I think the best form of relaxation is when the crowd just goes, okay, this guy, he's got it.
Yes, me too.
And you've established kind of,
you're in safe hands here,
sort of where you're coming from and who you probably are, so that when you do get into something that's just totally out of left field, most people are like, all right, this probably
it's going to come around.
What it's about.
Right. Then you establish that too. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also not fun if everyone knows you're being facetious.
Right.
You know, a room, let's say, you know, most comedy clubs hold 300, I think, is probably a safe number for give or take. You know, that's 300 different people who all have different senses of humor, even people who are there together, even people who have been married for 30 years that are at a show.
Both of us have seen people look at the people with them and be like, you're laughing at this.
Exactly. And so it's always fun to remember, like, certain moments are for certain people. But like, if I decided to just be silent for 30 seconds, I know this silence doesn't bother everybody.
Right.
But the people that does bother is fun. It's fun. Now, if it all 300 people it bothered, it would then also bother me because I could feel that.
Right.
But because I know it doesn't, I could be.
But that's also fun for us.
I got more than the majority.
Rory, that's fun for us. Like when I did the joke on my album where I did the smile fade of my dad leaving me, and I would get, and I always knew, because I had full rooms that would, it would be like a sad moment in Full House. It would be like, oh, but then I would have home where it was 50-50. Where some people did not like that joke, like, that's sad. And other people would be like, that was fucking hilarious. So that's when we're riding the line. Like, I want to find out. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that little guy right there.
Look at that. He loves you. For the listener,
what is going on?
Charlie.
Get out of here.
Charlie. What if he Charlie Dots, his little
get
dog.
Get out of here, Charlie, you're good.
He doesn't know the difference, Roar. He loves you. His tail was straight up. I want to say one last thing about this letter before we move on, my love. Yes. And it's something in this relationship which makes me think these two are going to be great for each other. And I think they have a healthy, healthy, strong relationship. And there's so many reasons in this. This one sentence, and then we'll move on. The thought of having dinner with my fiance's ex-in-laws after the death of their son and her ex-husband was insane to me. But I knew that it took my fiance a lot to even ask if I would go. And that, to me, is sometimes realizing maybe you have a certain feeling on what someone's asking you to do with them or a place they want you to go, or it is a nightmare for you to go to like medieval times. And that's not really a fair comparison for this, but sometimes step aside and be like, well, what did it take that person to even ask me that that's something they needed from me or wanted from me? And on that basis alone, sometimes, as long as it's not detrimental to your own health and life and happiness, but on that basis alone, sometimes you can look at your partner and go, I definitely have a feeling about this, but the fact that you are what it took you to ask me for that, is the reason I'm going to do it, because I respect the trust and the fear that you must have had. You know what I mean? Like, it probably took a lot for her to say, this is going to sound crazy and I can't believe I'm subjecting you to this. Then this is your life because you love me. But would you? And in a vacuum, he would never go to that dinner probably. But
right.
Some people's social anxiety wouldn't let them go to that dinner. But he was like, I got to think about what this took to ask you that. So yeah, I'll go.
Right.
Yeah. I just love that. I just love that part. All right, man. I assume because you didn't give pronouns, so I'll just go with that. Hope it all works out. It sounds like it is working out. And if you do that bit, I hope that works out too.
And I think, you know, that main question being where do we draw the line with the material in regards to our family and friends? I think it's up to you. I know where my
mine is. And you know what? Sometimes it changes.
It's up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks so much for this letter. Glad you like the pens. Hopefully we get Spotify going. We wish you well. Your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Scopel.
Hey, do you miss traveling with your besties like in Girls Trip? Do you miss going to huge family gatherings like in Soul Food? Do you miss meeting the parents like in Get Out? Well, actually, no one misses that. But you can still do all of these things with me, Desmond Thorne, on my podcast, Adventures in Black Cinema. Each week, I take you on a journey through a new black film, how it relates to the culture, and sometimes how the themes relate to my own life, so there's always a little tea and a slight bit of embarrassment. And of course, as a filmmaker myself and one of the blackest, film nerdiest film nerds like ever, you're always in good hands. Adventures in Black Cinema with Desmond Thorne, executive produced by Amanda Seals. New episodes every Tuesday on all major podcast platforms.
When was the last time you did something just for you? Discover your summer essentials with FabFitFun, the best subscription box service delivering full-size self-care and wellness products delivered straight to your door. Their experts carefully pick from top trending products for you to personalize your own box of happiness. Just choose your plan and get ready for the best in home, fashion, beauty, wellness, and so much more. So whether it's the perfect beach blanket, a handy wine chiller, or aloe vera gel, FabFitFun has you covered for all of your fun in the sun needs. You'll get to choose some of the products to go in your box while the rest are a surprise. Plus, you can access other perks like flash sales and new items up to 70% off. FabFitFun is more than just an incredible value. It's me time in a box. All about the brands you love, the brands you will love, and doing something that's just for you. Visit FabFitFun.com for 50% off your first box while supplies last when you use code TALKSHOW. That's FabFitFun.com, code TALKSHOW.
Kaplowy!
Kaplowy?
What Daniel is that? And Rory are back.
That's like when we were kids and they would have promos for other cartoons during like the Fox cartoon blocks, like after school and stuff. And I'll never forget the one. It was one of the first impressions I ever did, actually. It was like, catch the cat, let's lay on Fox. Remember Eat the Cat?
Yes.
Catch the cat, let's lay on Fox.
Love that.
I don't know why that popped into my head.
I love that.
Dude, you're wearing a Wish You Well hoodie right now, and I love it.
I love this hoodie. It's so great.
I know.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, buddy.
In regards to Hoosiers, which we're going to go ahead and put on the date book when you're back.
I can't wait.
What is our plan? Were we going to try to do something post watching it to include everybody, or were we just going to watch it and it was just going to be our own night of finally watching?
I have no idea.
There's something also wildly funny if when it ended, you're like, Rory, I fucking hated that movie so much.
The only thing I like about Gene Hackman is he's from Danville, Illinois. This was trash.
This was Trash Town USA is what this was.
I feel like you'd be so upset and Scott would be upset. Jordan wouldn't care. She cares very little about our endeavors.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know if that would be upset. I would bet money that you will like it.
Oh, I think I'll love it.
We're too similar in our affinity for mm-hmm. probably sports movies,
sure.
But also just this is a well-done movie. Uh-huh. There's a reason it's a classic. But I would also be very entertained if when it ended, you're like, dude, I checked out an hour.
Yeah, you already know that isn't going to happen. I mean, it'd make for an interesting post show if we do something, even just live on Instagram. But I don't know. I don't know that we had planned anything.
That's not a bad idea right there.
Is it your favorite sports movie?
That's a great question. That is a really great question.
I love Remember the Titans.
Maybe it is. I mean, it's definitely...
I love Remember the Titans. I love Miracle.
I love those, but they're not Hoosiers for me.
Yeah. I mean, I love Rocky so much. That's my favorite line of any movie I've ever seen.
Isn't it weird that I almost don't put Rocky in sports movies?
I know.
I almost just don't.
But it is.
It is. Yeah. 100%. I mean, the whole thing is.
Right.
But you almost don't. It almost just doesn't feel, especially the first one.
Right. Because it transcends it.
I don't even know how he got the money. I remember he had to like sell his dog.
Sold his dog. And then he had to buy his dog back for $10,000.
Bought his dog back.
Yeah.
Love that he did that.
Me too.
And you know that person would have been like, dude, just take your dog.
No,
back.
He wouldn't.
Instead, he was like, you're Rocky.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yes.
Give me some fucking coin.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying, you know, I just want my dog back. You know,
but you just, I mean, people know you now. So it's like, I know you made a lot.
I know they know me, but I sold you the dog for $100. So I was hoping I could.
Yeah, but I mean, I know that you made a lot. So it's, there's a markup.
Yeah, I know they know me, but I'm out here trying to get my dog back.
Either you take it or I eat the dog tomorrow. So it's up to you. Either you pay me $10,000. You have to have like an absurd thing to go with.
What do you say? I give you $1,000.
Either that happens or I eat the dog. It's up to you,
bud. I'll give you $10,000.
You got it.
That's what he did.
Oh, God. Anyways, we'll figure something out. Instagram Live sounds pretty mm-hmm. fun. Mm-hmm. Daniel and I are starting to make contact. There's a chance we get back in a studio at some point.
Mm-hmm. Same room in it. I can't wait till we're same room.
We'll probably talk about it the whole time. Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
I can't wait till we're same room in it for pen pals.
So bizarre. It'll be so bizarre. Mm-hmm. It's been over a year. Here we go.
Okay.
Dearest pen pals, Raniel Van Scovel. All right.
Because it starts with R, you probably feel good. But
it starts with R, but I feel like you got a bulk. You got the bulk of the first one, and the middle is completely yours.
But here's the thing. If somebody was like, hey, guess how this person wrote this? And I was like, okay. And then let's say a third party, right? Jordan goes, okay, I'm going to read this. How do you guys think they started it? Who got first? I'm like, I don't know. And then she goes, Rory. And you'd say the same thing. And then we'd find out it was a different name. So technically you got it. And I don't give a fuck about this letter.
I'll take it. I don't give a fuck about this letter. So technically it's yours. And I fucking hate it.
I wonder if people do you feel like the other person, if you don't say their name to start, checks out? You'll never know.
Yeah.
All right.
I wonder if it is exciting. Like, I know it is exciting when your letter is written because you wrote a thing and
sure.
it goes into the
the list and the pile of potential letters. I wonder like what that is when it goes, oh shit, this is my letter. There's gotta be a lot of people that second guess were like, oh fuck, maybe I shouldn't send them like, as it's getting read.
Yeah, I believe that.
I think that's how I'd be. I'd be regretful instantly. Like, ah, fuck, I opened up too much. I would. That is, I'm not lying. That is how I probably
would. That's why we wish people well. They know it's a safe place.
It's a safe place, and it's a big deal. So here we go. Dearest pen pals, Raniel Van Scovel. Hope you're both having a great pandemic. I've always kind of liked canceled plans, but for an entire year and a half, even I have my limits. But there is another matter I'd like to discuss. I recently read a study, and that's going to be on www.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov/pmc/articles/pmc309-2984/.
Got it.
That found a correlation between political orientations and brain structure. Basically, an MRI scan of someone's brain could predict their political leanings within 70% accuracy, wow. Which is... That's mind-blowing. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening to think about how to navigate a world where nearly half the population has not only a different set of operating instructions, but different hardware altogether. Maybe it's a genetic variance, like if you're born a male or female. Maybe it's formed during adolescence from environment. Who knows? I will say, I don't think it changes much based on the spirited debates I've had with conservative friends and family members. Do we give people a pass for having a shitty worldview because their brain is wired differently? How do you two fare with close friends and or family who have different political leanings? Would love to hear your thoughts. Sincerely, your pen pal, Dan.
I did not write this.
And this is for our own, I don't know, maybe someone knows about this, Nuno or somebody. P.S., just a suggestion, you should make your email address more visible on your homepage. I don't know, what is the homepage?
What is the
Perhaps homepage? Right underneath your physical address. It was nearly impossible to copy and paste from the footer because of the endless scroll on the homepage. I got to tell you what, I don't even know where or
we
what
don't
you're talking
have
about, but I appreciate that
website.
Because maybe that's an improvement we can make to access.
Do we have a website?
I don't know. I truly don't know.
If you said, Dan, you got $100 in your pocket, you have to bet whether or not you have a website. I am betting no.
Let's be honest.
But then where is this person?
Chanley's up to something. Emily and Chanley.
You think he made a goddamn Angel Fire GeoCities Netscape site?
Oh, he's above that. Chanley and Emily, they, who knows what they
Wix?
Created. By the way, Chanley put together the playlist. Maybe Emily helped. I do not know. Those mm-hmm. are our two... Those are two troops on the ground that fucking
mm-hmm. There are
cover
goddamn
shit.
Generals.
Endlessly grateful. Chanley sent me a link, so I don't know where the credit goes,
but
either
wait,
way, there's
isn't
now
this person alluding
official
to
Pen Pals playlist?
This person's alluding to a website, a homepage.
I think so they said on your homepage. Where do you,
I'm at
if
a
you're
loss.
Gonna listen to this podcast outside of a link that Starburns provides or a producer provides?
iTunes.
Where do you go Spotify?
iTunes. I don't use Spotify
is it
at all in my
is
life.
Is there a thing on iTunes?
I mean, there's a page.
Maybe that's what we're talking about.
That could be.
This is how good our podcast is.
Does Spotify have a page?
you know you are dealing with two cackling idiots when the right. question, wait, do we have a website comes up? We don't even know.
Oh.
Look, how do we know if we have a website? We just got someone who's not even two of the hosts of the show to make our playlist.
Look, I don't want to derail this too much, but you just reminded me. Do you know we have to send a cease and desist to Conan O'Brien?
Is that true?
He did his recent episode with Bob Odenkirk. He refers to the two of them as two cackling idiots.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I've got lawsuits out the wazoo.
All directed at Conan.
Yeah. Oh, and some stuff, it's I just made it up. I just
but then
to
I wondered, was two cackling idiots a thing before we said it? I mean, we read it on that review, but like, did people say two cackling idiots? Or is it just...
I don't know.
Did we say it to Conan and then it lived somewhere in his mind?
I would never listen to Conan's podcast. That is my only...
You were on it.
I didn't listen to it.
I listened to the Odenkirk
one. And that's my only rule when it comes to podcasts.
Okay.
Don't listen.
Sorry
to
for
this.
The derail. I just remember you made me
especially
because
he fucking steals our phrases.
I don't think he did wish me well the last time I saw him. I don't think that we have a website. But maybe Spotify has a page, and you're right. iTunes.
Let me tell you what,
has a landing page.
We're never gonna know. That's the truth.
And we'll. He
says endless scroll on the homepage.
We'll never know, and we will be told many times.
You're gonna have to hit us back, Dan, and let us know what the f it is that you're talking about, because you brought.
I think you might be. You brought. You might be getting scammed, Dan.
Drama. Dan, you might be getting scammed by another. Either way, you obviously found where to send this letter. But
hashtag do
might
we
have scammed?
Hashtag do we have a website? That's official.
Hashtag do we have a website? And Shanley's like, I made a website for you guys. I think that's insanely crazy
study?
And interesting that you can get that a brain scan can with 70% accuracy determine political leanings. What do you think it's reading there? Do you think that it's
that's
reading like how compassionate you are?
Yes, and that's my does? Thing. Is it reading that? Because look, I'm sorry for how this is going to sound. I am not saying that there are
not
people on both of these sides. Although I probably would put the split at 70-30 on each side. If you
go 80-20,
are,
just
if you are,
consistent.
This is my feeling, and I'm sorry, but we didn't. You get me on this show, whether I lose you as a listener or not.
I don't apologize.
I mean, Rory's over here setting up like scams that got that guy killed. All right, so I feel like if you're angry, if you are an angry person, if you took 100 angry people, I would assume at least 70 of them vote. Like, we're not anti-Trump, that we're pro that anger. They liked that. So I'm not even trying to really make this political, because I know some people, like, you come to us for goofy, but also, like, I hope you come for real, too, because we're that. But, like, I just think if you told me this room has 100 very, like, people who just give a shit about other people, whether they personally know them or not, they just are compassionate people. I would tell you, I bet at 70 of them are probably liberal. Now, you could still have 30 in that room that are very compassionate and not liberal. And you could have 30 in that room, other room, that are very angry and are Democrats, but like, or liberals. But if you're measuring like things like that, like, yeah, like compassion and anger, I think that checks out, don't you?
You know, I think. Yes. Yes. I think here's how some people feel. And maybe this is what this is about. When it comes to voting, look, I don't fucking love Joe Biden. I don't fucking love Kamala Harris. I don't. Are you waving at birds?
No, Ken and Connie just pulled in the drive.
I don't. There aren't politicians that I go, I fucking love them. I try to read if they're full of shit.
Right.
And there's
care?
Obviously people full of shit on fucking
both sides
of the aisle.
There's more than there aren't on both sides.
There are horrific people on both sides of the aisle. There are some good people on both sides of the aisle. So my point is, what are the people on each side of the aisle talking about?
Right.
And to me, if you're like, well, the American tradition. Mm-hmm. And my right to do this and not my freedom to not be infringed on. And I like that I can own a gun, and I like that I can, you know, do certain things or behave in a certain way or exclude certain people because of what I believe in. I'm not here to tell you that what that is or is right or wrong in your mind.
Right.
It's just that the other side, who I am saying is also many times very full of shit, preaches more about, well, the environment or immigration and like how to respectfully treat other people. I'm not saying they knock it out of the park. There's still kids in cages right now.
Right now. They're still building a goddamn wall now.
I am more drawn to the political narrative that isn't sitting here worried about me. I am not worried about me. Right. So I don't vote for people that go, well, but I want my thing. I'm not sitting here saying my thing.
Right.
I'm sitting here saying, what is the global good thing? I don't
global
sit here
good.
Going, well, I'm American. You just happen to be fucking American. You just happen to be born here. Can you not fathom the infinite, like, insanity?
Yeah, you know who's the most American?
Landed?
The people who fought to get here. Because everybody else just were born.
And when you talk about your rights and your freedom,
or the people who originally were here.
Like the left, when we talk about like Black Lives Matter, if you sat here and said, here is a dossier on everything that's wrong with Black Lives Matter, as everyone wants to tell you. This is what they stand for, and this is what they're doing. Here's what I do know, is that they show up when there's these great injustices that I agree with. I agree that people shouldn't be treated this way. I agree that police force is excessive and wildly unnecessary. I believe that everyone deserves a chance. I believe that. I believe that no matter who you are, where you're from, and I'm not talking about the American way or the American dream. I'm talking about being a human being on this planet, no matter where you are. I believe that you should be given a chance to experience what it means to be alive in a fair, meaningful way. I agree that if someone is wildly evil or a terrorist, or if someone just said, let's even narrow it down to someone just doesn't want to go get a job. The common claim of like, oh, there's welfare, there's people that don't want to get a job. You don't know that.
Right.
You don't know that people don't want to get a job. Am I going to sit here and say, well, 100% of people always do want to get a job and no one's lazy? No. Every single person on this planet has the opportunity to be very hardworking or very lazy. And it has nothing to do with gender, has nothing to do with religion, it has nothing to do with race, it has nothing to do with any of that stuff. It's just a part of being human. So I don't use it as some blanket excuse as to how people should be treated. I believe that taxes are important for many reasons to pay for what I would like to believe are government related. God, I fucking lost my train of thought.
Like organizations?
Funding. Government funding for different government run programs that help the less fortunate to get putting themselves in a position to get a good paying job, to get an education so that their lives can improve. When everyone's lives are in a decent state, you don't have a ton of people coveting what other people have.
Right.
Some people steal because they have to.
Yeah.
Some people steal because they want to. I sit back and I go, who are the people in charge that think no matter what, if you've done a crime, you should pay for it? There are people right now in this country who complain about not having any money while defending corporations that don't pay taxes in this country. And they do it because the people of those corporations pay other people to fucking to make sure that laws don't pass that would make them have to pay it. I know it sounds wildly. I know I'm getting worked up and it sounds wildly.
But I bet you right now, your brain looks
fucking lobbyists.
But your brain looks different.
I had a chance in this country. You know who's taking it away? Immigrants. And it's like, no,
no,
that's not who's fucking taking it away. Who's taking it away is the fucking CEO of a corporation that you defend, because that CEO is like, you want your gun, right? Well, I pay all the senators who tell you that guns and religion are important. And then people fucking believe that, as opposed to stepping back and going, fuck red, fuck blue. Who can help?
Yeah, who cares? Who cares? Who
really
cares?
And if you sit here and say, oh, it can't be done, you're so full of shit. Also, if you sit there and you go, well, there's nothing we can do about climate change, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. You are a stupid piece of shit. If you sit there, well, it's not man-made. Really? So it's not worth trying to see? It's not worth trying to see? Why do we still need to go? Well, I think they should drill on native sacred land. Why? Why do you care that they drill? Why do you sit here and go, but I like my motor, so I don't like electric cars? Have you ever fucking, like, what is your brain to realize what in the next 30 years is going to look like? Because when we do run out of fucking water, I guarantee you, your year of freedom getting taken away because you had to wear a mask and socially distance is going to feel like paradise to what we are going to have to go through as people. And it's not going to be people being nice. You're not going to go, well, the authorities will protect me. No one will be protecting you. When someone shows up at your house with a fucking gun to take your water in the year 2050, you will either give them that water or you will die, and there won't be someone coming to help you.
Right.
Or right now, we could say, how can we prevent this disaster? Is it worth seeing if we can change the effects of climate change enough to not have a global meltdown of people wreaking havoc? I am all over Rant City right now.
Yeah, God, hashtag Rant City. Dude, but you're not wrong. And you're talking about people who are more pissed off that they wouldn't give them all their Monopoly pieces at McDonald's. That's what they're pissed off about right now.
Yes. Yes.
But
that's
you,
my freedom. You fucking think about what your freedom is and think about what other people's freedom is. Right. I'm not saying you have to walk around feeling guilty every day of your life because you happen to be a straight white male. And you think to yourself, well, look at this. I'm fallen into the perfect bracket of no issues, no social issues.
Right.
I get to be a straight white male. So my hurdles are few and far between.
Or chosen.
I'm not saying you don't have any.
Or you chose.
I'm not saying you don't
or
have
you chose
any.
Them. But you might. Like, I get to choose to go be an ally. I get to choose to get arrested. I get to choose to protest. I can just blend in whenever I want.
Yes. I'm not saying walk around every day feeling guilty about your white privilege.
No.
I'm not saying to do that.
But no, you
fucking
have.
Fucking grow a goddamn brain and acknowledge that it exists and see what you can do about creating that privilege for other people who don't fall in that same bracket
or just
as
the,
you.
That privilege, it'll stop being privileged when it's fucking equal.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is what a lot of people don't want to give up because equality means I'm not special.
It's bizarre.
But I was going to ask you this though. So right now, I think if they just looked at your brain, it would seem way different than somebody that's like, you know, challenge, like they're scared to go to Subway without their gun and they want to fight anybody walking through their neighborhood that doesn't look like them. So what do you do if you know for a fact that your brain is wired different than somebody else's, especially someone you're related to? And I will tell you the shortest answer I have for that is I just ask them a lot of questions where the answer is what I believe. But it's not manipulative in the sense that I'm gearing it that way, but I just be like, You ever wonder what like how things would be if Trump seemed to like care about everybody? And then they at least have to like think that or completely rule it out. So my tactic for talking to somebody who feels different than me is I just ask questions about what I feel are issues that they don't question.
Yeah.
That's my way.
Yeah.
And then also we are having a conversation because I'm going to learn from them based off their answer. You know, like, did you just think it was racist when he called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas? Not that you don't. I'm not saying you like her. I'm not saying you want her to be president. I'm just saying you just think like that is racist, right?
And but even let's
and then they at least have to answer you.
If they go, actually, I don't think it's racist because .. and she lied and she isn't actually. Let me ask you this. Do you think it was childish? Right. And if the answer is yes, should that person be in charge?
Well, there you go. See?
Now,
this is why it works.
Let's say he never called her Pocahontas.
Right.
But he thought it.
Right.
And he said, Elizabeth Warren, are you actually of Native American descent? Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting question to ask. Someone like myself would go, why she said she is, but is she? I'm not here to say that she's not going to lie about stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not here to say she's going to tell the truth about stuff, but I'm also not going to say I don't fucking know her.
Right.
I voted for her in the primary.
Yeah.
If she did lie, which I don't believe she did, but if she did, then I have to step back and go, well, how do I feel about that lie?
I want to ask people how they feel about facts.
Yes, and then I would compare and contrast that lie with what she
the other
has
option.
Done for
or
people.
Yes, yeah, the other side of the scale. Right.
Do you think Trump has ever lied about anything?
But then those people would tell you, I'm doing the same thing you are, Rory. I know he lies. I know he's horrible. But I'm balancing that with the other side of the scale, and my fucking IRA is doing great right now.
Exactly. You,
exactly.
Your thing.
And there you
versus
go.
Versus what's the helpful thing?
Right.
Do I think Hillary Clinton's a great person? I've never met her.
No.
But she probably isn't.
Right.
And then she's running against Donald Trump, who I also don't think is a great person.
Right.
Now, if I put their two resumes side by side, and all I have to go on is who has
helped
been
people.
Actually been a public servant?
Who has helped people?
In some way.
Yeah.
In some way.
Right.
I go, well, she has.
And not
she
rich
has.
People. Helped people in need is what I'm specific. Lest anybody think I just mean anyone. Because Trump has helped a lot of millionaires. I'm talking about people in need.
Yes. And it's, I don't know. I think,
I think that I believe that that scan could be a thing, and I believe that it's all personality based, and I think that it also is how you're brought up and how you think about stuff. I don't think people are born to be mean and exclusive of others. I think that someone can be born and just be a murderer. I think that can be a thing. And
I'm sure the good son.
Everyone is born different. But I think the vast majority of people are born with enough of a brain to distance themselves from something they were born into, like their religion. You didn't boldly, most people did not boldly choose their religion. You were born into it. So you believe it because you were born into it, and you were told the consequences of not believing
classic
it and what would happen. And that is scary. It is scary, those consequences. So you continue to participate in that product because you were told what will happen. Now, imagine that you were born in a family of another religion. You would still do the same thing, but for that religion. So when you think about your independent thought and your freedom, apply the fact that to the very meaning of reality, you don't necessarily apply that to what you practice now. I am so off base. I'm all over the place.
It's okay.
And I don't mind it.
We just talk about
it. We're in a deep today.
Yeah.
It feels good. Maybe I've got a weirder brain. Maybe I fall into another percentage of people who rant and don't connect dots.
You do. You do. You just add more dots as you go.
I think here's what I think. I don't know how I fare with close friends or family who have different political leanings. I think when it's extreme, like if someone goes, you know, I like Marjorie Taylor Greene, I would go, well, then get the fuck away from me. You're a psychopath.
You know, I was at the insurrection.
There's no middle ground. I don't want to talk to you.
I went to the insurrection. I broke in there. I'd be like, I gotta go.
I support the insurrection. I don't think the insurrection was bad. Think, fuck off.
Right.
Fuck off.
Right.
There isn't some middle ground. That would blow my mind. Oh, really? That's interesting. Let's try to break bread and chat about other stuff. No, you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
You're a true psychopath.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know. I don't know how I'd fare. It's such a gray area. But when it's extreme, it's a little bit easier. Like if you look at Matt Gaetz without him talking and you think this guy's probably a good dude.
Without him talking, he just looks like an evil Muppet. Like he's trying to like take away the home where all the Muppets live.
Yeah. Yes. He's like the real estate guy who's we bought this land.
All right. Yeah. Oh, he scares me. Evil Matt Muppet Gaetz. Version of him scares me.
Matt Gaetz. Everyone's out to get the most powerful man in Washington.
He's on the list of people I wouldn't mind being within spitting distance of, and that's all I'll say.
I would love to put an MMA match together, and he and I are not allowed to train. We're not allowed to know what it is. Either you know or you don't, and we just fight. You're not allowed to prepare, and you're not allowed to work out.
Oh, roar.
And it has to happen like tomorrow at like 5 p.m. It has to happen so quickly you can't cheat and learn it or get in shape.
I should surprise you with a gasser's day.
I would appreciate that.
I'd pick you up.
We're coming up on it. I mean, we could do that at any point.
I know.
All right, Dan, this was an incredible letter, and I urge everyone to go back and listen to me read out that entire link so you can check out that article. Dan, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Venker.
And Rory Scovel. If it wasn't so long ago.
A podcast network.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.